The Final Decision Support for Quality Improvement Unit presents tips for successful design and implementation of clinical decision support systems in healthcare.
The objective of this unit is to investigate strategies for successful design and implementation of clinical decision support systems.
When assisting clinicians in assessing the need for clinical decision support, it is helpful to understand the primary need or target area for which the clinical decision support is being considered. Are they trying to improve overall efficiency, identify disease early, aid in obtaining an accurate diagnosis or implementing an evidence-based treatment protocol, or are clinicians trying to prevent adverse events such as medication error? Next, it is important to know to whom the decision support is to be delivered and how. For example, duplicate testing alerts need to go to the provider who orders the test. However, if the test is part of a nurse-initiated protocol, the alert needs to go to the nurse. The next thing you will need to know is how much control the user will have in accessing and responding to information. Is the decision support displayed on demand or presented automatically to the user? Can the user choose whether to accept the information? Clinical decision support can be designed to remind clinicians of things they intend to do, but should not have to remember. Or it can be designed to provide information for clinicians who may be uncertain as to the best course. Clinical decision support can be designed to correct errors that clinicians have made, or to recommend that clinicians reconsider their plans. In order to better understand the concepts of automatic and on-demand functionality, let's look at the example of the calendar alarm. The user can set the calendar alarm to signal 15 minutes before a scheduled appointment. The calendar alarm is presented automatically to remind the user that there is some place he needs to be in 15 minutes. When the user is in a word processing program, he may elect to access the online thesaurus whenever he wants to select a different word choice that has the same meaning. Osheroff suggests that there are five rights of clinical decision support design. Clinical decision support should be designed to provide the right information to the right person in the right format through the right channel at the right time, that is, when the information is needed. So you will need to know whose decisions are being supported by the clinical decision support system, what information that person needs to have presented to him, and when does the person need that information during the course of care, as well as how should the information be presented. The challenge is to determine how closely the clinical decision support is tied to what the clinician already intends to do. Speed and ease of access are important for clinical decision support that the user may seek out, or what's called on-demand support. Timing is more important for automated reminders. Kawamoto and colleagues conducted a systematic review and noted several design characteristics that are associated with successful clinical decision support. First, computerized processes are more effective than manual processes. Next, the interventions that are most likely to be used by clinicians are those that are presented automatically versus on demand, and those that fit into their clinical workflow. If the clinical decision support role recommends actions for the user to take, it will be much more effective than a rule that merely provides assessments. Finally, if the rule provides information at a time and place of decision-making activity, then the rule is more likely to have an impact on care. Workflow issues are critical to take into account when designing and implementing clinical decision support systems. Workflow includes features of the work system as well as processes that support care. First, it is important to engage clinicians in all aspects of design and implementation. Next, their workflow must be analyzed, and a determination must be made as to how the decision support will fit into that workflow. It's important to understand that there may be many different workflow patterns, not just a single pattern, and that all patterns should be taken into consideration. Only when the team has determined that there needs to be process improvement can decisions be made on how to improve processes and how the clinical decision support can aid in that improvement. Finally, the system must be configured with the user's needs in mind. Most of the clinical decision support that is associated with drug interaction alerts and reminders are integrated into the electronic health record and pull information from that record. Other systems are independent of the electronic health record, such as web-based and handheld computer-based clinical decision support tools. These may require clinicians to enter data twice, once in the electronic health record and once into the clinical decision support application, causing workflow problems. Another consideration is who enters the data and who receives the advice. For example, a prescriber may write a manual prescription and a nurse may enter it into the order entry system. How would a recommendation to change the prescription be handled? A variety of approaches have been used, such as email alerts to the physician's pager, but these issues must be addressed in the planning process. Electronic health records with clinical decision support capability may not be ready for use without a significant amount of additional work. Systems usually come with sets of built-in reminders. Clinicians will need to select which ones to use. These systems usually require some sort of local customization. Time and effort on the part of clinicians is often required to select and design content. Vocabulary differences, as well as different standards for medication formularies or processes of care, may require additional work before the clinical decision support system can be deployed. IT professionals and clinicians will need to spend time understanding the logic of the clinical decision support and may need to adapt it to their unique needs. It is difficult to maintain complete accuracy of the medical record. For example, providers may fail to update medications or allergies, or a nurse may not document an intervention in the electronic record until 2 or 3 hours after he has performed the intervention. If information used to trigger the clinical decision support rule is not accurate, the alert will not be accurate. In addition, knowledge that is embedded in the clinical decision support system may be outdated. Clinical practice guidelines change with great frequency as clinicians and researchers gain new knowledge or as new regulatory requirements become active, and the clinical decision support system will need to be updated to reflect current standards. Think about the following case. A community hospital has a new computerized provider order entry system and wants to make sure that it has a safe and timely admission and transition process of patients from the emergency department to inpatient units. The focus of improvement efforts for this hospital is care of chest pain patients who usually present in the emergency department and are subsequently managed in the inpatient setting. The hospital has a standard protocol for working up, diagnosing, and treating patients with chest pain, and the inpatient physician group wants to assure the rapid initiation of that protocol as soon as possible after the diagnosis of chest pain is made by the emergency room physicians. Just as real-life cases are most often complicated, let's look at two contingencies related to our case study. In the first possibility, a patient comes to the emergency department with an apparent heart attack. The cardiac team has specific protocols that depend on rapid evaluation in the emergency department, timely communication, and coordination of care and transfer to the ICU. In the second unforeseen event, a patient deteriorates on arrival to the emergency department. This deterioration may be preceded by changes in vital signs as recorded by patient monitors with alarms for abnormal values. In trying to decide upon the best use of clinical decision support for the current case, clinicians and IT professionals need to understand what computerized provider order entry entails and how it functions with respect to patient safety. They also need to understand the role of clinical decision support in provider order entry and the sequence of events that need to occur when the average patient presents to the emergency department with chest pain and needs to be admitted to the inpatient unit. How does this sequence change when either of the two contingencies come into play? What types of clinical data need to be monitored and managed during the emergency department workup for the patient? And does this change with either of the two contingencies? Finally, the team needs to be aware of the functions of clinical decision support in data management to ensure quality. The team will want to look specifically at order sets, alerts and reminders, and access to supportive information that aids in decision making. It will need to understand how order sets help assure safety and quality in inpatient care, and how these order sets are created, implemented, and maintained. The team needs to understand the effect of alerts and reminders on users, and how these supports can sometimes pose difficulties in patient safety. Finally, they need to be aware of the patient safety functions that clinical decision support linked to patient data and drug dictionaries offers, and what challenges exist in implementing them. The merits of clinical decision support are not limited to the inpatient environment. Think about the following case. Several community ambulatory practices want to monitor patients who are hospitalized for chest pain. They want to improve ongoing management of patients diagnosed with heart disease in their population by receiving an alert when these patients are admitted and receiving information about the hospital management and disposition of these patients. Some of these practices have common electronic systems with the hospital. Health IT professionals working with clinicians will need to ascertain the following information when working with practices that are fortunate enough to have connected electronic health records. What kind of data need to be made available to the practice? What forms of decision support will be helpful to assure continuity of care? The team will need to look at the potential value of information libraries, alerts and reminders, and guidelines to both the practices and the hospital to which the practices admit their patients. When working with practices that do not have connected electronic health records, questions such as what are alternatives, challenges, and barriers to implementing clinical decision support? What business strategies need to be considered? If prevention is to be the focus of the practices, how can clinical decision support be implemented in ambulatory electronic health records to improve prevention? One would need to look at the value added by having information libraries for practitioners and patients, access to evidence-based care guidelines, alerts and reminders, and analytic tools for practice data. In one final case, let's look at use of clinical decision support in the public health arena. The State Health Department wants to set up cardiac management and prevention programs because they have found cardiac disease to be a problem in the community. They want to establish health information exchange for cardiac care in the state and would like to have decision support to support that effort. So public health officials meet with clinical cardiologists and IT professionals to improve how the local health information registries function by adding cardiac risk data to the current immunization, metabolic screening, and cancer data. The team will want to find out who determines the cardiac health information process and what it entails. Team members will examine their surveillance processes, including the types of data reported, who reports the data, and with what frequency these data are reported. They will inspect both measures of importance to cardiac health and public health responses to these measures. The team will need to understand the data that public health officials need to assess and make decisions regarding cardiac health, including access to information at the institutional, regional, and national level, whether these decisions are governed by clinical practice guidelines, and what alerts and reminders are needed to notify public health officials and the general public. Finally, the team needs to understand what information standards are needed for clinical data reporting and what format is required. In summary, when assisting with the implementation of clinical decision support, IT professionals should consider the primary need and target area, to whom the information needs to be delivered, how that information is to be delivered, and the degree of desired user control. The five rights of clinical decision support state that clinical decision support should be designed to provide the right information to the right person in the right format, through the right channel, at the right time. It will be important to consider workflow integration, data entry and output, standards and transferability, and knowledge maintenance.